Well, there are two people at the center of this Spirit-led encounter that is shared with us in Luke's book of Acts. The first is a deacon-turned-evangelist, and the second is an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, we know the name of the first person, and that is Philip. But the second character is the man with no name. And I like to think of him that way because that's just about the only thing we don't really seem to know about him. If you listen carefully to the lesson that Nan just read us, there was actually a lot of information provided about this man. To start off, we know he's an Ethiopian. He comes from Africa, most likely from Nubia, a kingdom south of Egypt. And he is a eunuch. He is someone who was prepared and groomed to serve in the court. We can surmise that he was powerful. After all, we are told that he was a high court official responsible for the queen's entire treasury. Here he is, the finance minister, and he's traveling around in a chariot that he doesn't need to drive, so he's got a chauffeur. And most people back then walked. He also had a scroll that he was able to read. Scrolls were very expensive and dear and precious in those days. So clearly he had money. He also had learning. We know this again because of his job working with the queen's finances, but also because we know he's literate. He was reading aloud from the scroll. And in that day and time, people often read aloud. So we know this fellow is an African. We know he's a eunuch. We know he's powerful. We know he's well-positioned. We know he is well-educated. We know he has money. What else do we know about him? Well, he appears to be a man who is deeply moved by religious concern, someone who is searching for God. And he has found God in Jerusalem, the God of Israel. He has traveled from one continent to another. Think about that. Sometimes people today are too troubled to drive across town to go to church. This man traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles because he wanted to find God's truth. And there he found it in Jerusalem. But he wasn't able to fully participate. Whether it was because as a eunuch he'd been castrated and couldn't be fully converted, whether for some other reason. But we know that he found a role, a place in Jewish religious life. And we know that this fellow also had an adventurous spirit. First, there's the long journey in search of truth. But then there's also this interesting encounter with Philip. Now, just picture what happened here. The man with no name is in his chariot, and this guy comes running up to him and wants to start talking to him and teaching him. Imagine something like that happening today. The analog might be the Chinese finance minister in the back of his Mercedes-Benz limousine in Washington, D.C., traveling from a meeting at the IMF to the Chinese embassy. And some street preacher runs up to his car and starts banging on the window. And our friend from Beijing opens the door to his limo and lets the stranger in to start teaching him. Seems far-fetched, doesn't it? Boggles the imagination. Well, it would have done the same 2,000 years ago. And yet, Luke in this book of Acts tells us that that is exactly what happened. This Ethiopian's need and desire for God's truth was so strong that he will take instruction wherever he can find it. Now, the text he was reading comes from Isaiah 53. And that is a passage about the suffering servant. It was written in the time of exile after the first temple had been destroyed. And some people began to think maybe the notion of the Messiah being someone who is going to come to restore the house of David by reestablishing the monarchy, being a great military leader, maybe that's not what we're looking for. Maybe instead the Messiah was going to be somebody who would be able to assume the burdens and the pains, who would be able to help with the alienation and loss of the people. Now, the author we know as 2 Isaiah was not speaking about Jesus. It is Luke who makes the connection. But that old prophet knew that the God that Israel needed was something different than people had thought they needed. And he knew that the God of Israel was a God who would come and meet people in their place and need. This was the God that the man with no name was looking for. The God who would embrace and hold and welcome him. For yes, he had position and influence and riches and learning, but he still felt like an outsider. Yes, he may have looked like the ultimate insider, but he was an outsider. Whether because of his nationality, or because he was a eunuch, or because he couldn't fully participate in Jewish religious life. And Philip came and shared the good news of Jesus Christ, telling him, guess what? There are no outsiders here. Not in God's kingdom. All are welcome. All are invited to be part of God's new creation. And we know the response right then and there. The Ethiopian asked to be baptized. Now, it's worth noting that in the early centuries of the church, baptism was a long and complicated process. People spent years, literally years, studying scripture, learning the catechesis, preparing for baptism. But before the church trotted out theology and ecclesiology and process and gatekeeping, at the very beginning, baptism was open for all. Everybody was welcomed in if they wanted to join. And this is a message for the church to hear in 2015 as much as it was 2 millennia ago. In a few minutes, we'll gather around the table. And the wider church has had debates about communion for, well, about 2,000 years. Who gets to come to the table? Who doesn't? In this church, we have an open table. And we do that because it's not my communion to serve. It's not this church's communion to offer. This table belongs to Jesus Christ. We're all here as guests. And so we believe it's not our role to tell some people, sorry, you can't be part of the party. There is often this human impulse to shut people out, particularly when they don't look like us or sound like us or talk like us or think like us. But let's think back to the man with no name and Philip, two completely different characters. They came together. Philip made clear that the kingdom of God was open to all. And at just the right moment, the man with no name, the Ethiopian, welcomed Philip into his life. And he was willing to acknowledge there were things he didn't know and things he wanted to learn. And his life was changed as a result. We in the church are the heirs to both Philip and to the Ethiopian, to the man with no name. We are called, like Philip, to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, to go out and share the good news of God's love with everybody. At the same time, we are called to be like the Ethiopian, to set aside our preferences, our prejudices, our certainties, to ask questions, to be led by God into Scripture and deeper into the life of faith. Because when we do these things, then we will be like Philip and we will be carried forth to do amazing things, to share God's good news of hope and love with others. And we'll be like that Ethiopian. We will rejoice. So filled with God's love we will be. We will rejoice. Legend has it that when he returned to Ethiopia, he evangelized his people. And the church in Ethiopia is amongst the oldest in the world. Imagine for a moment, if he had not welcomed Philip into the chariot. Imagine for a moment that Philip had said to him, "Sorry, not now. You're not ready. Later on." Imagine how different things would have been for so many people. So we're getting ready today. We're getting ready for Pentecost. It's coming. The Spirit's going to settle on the church. Fire us up. As we prepare and pray and get ready, let us hold the man with no name before us as an example of what might happen to us and who we might be.